Hello and welcome to the Stooshy, the politics podcast from DC Thompson Media. My name is Paul Malik. I am the Courier's political editor and I am joined from across Scotland today from members of the DC Thompson politics portfolio. Joining us in Aberdeen is Evening Express's political correspondent Adele Merson, and joining us from Edinburgh is the Press and Journal's investigations editor Callum Ross. Good morning to you both. How are we both feeling today?
Morning, Paul. Yeah, good. Glad it's Friday.
I'm good too.
Great. Excellent. It's a sound endorsement of the week that has been. Let's jump straight to it then. We are deep in the depth of the election campaign now. It's been an odd one, I think it's safe to say, and has been laid basically from every reporter in Scotland's kitchen or study desk, rather than us hot-footing it after a politician day after day after day and racking up the mileage. I think it's best reflected by the fact that for some reason there seems to be an inordinate number of polls taking place and being published. We've done our own. We have taken a very large sample size as well, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But Adele, there have been two recent polls, both released on Thursday, that you took a bit of a look at, that are showing slightly different pictures of the same result. Can you talk us through what the latest of the latest of the latest of the polls has shown us?
Yeah, Paul, as you say, there was two polls released on Thursday that both showed quite different outcomes, which led one nice Facebook commenter to accuse me of tripe journalism or something, which I was well anticipating, because people don't understand that you're reporting on two different polls. But anyway, that's another conversation. So the first was for the Scotsman, and that showed that the SNP could narrowly miss out on a majority at Holyrood, and they've put that down to SNP voters choosing to vote for the ALBA party in the list. So this kind of suggests, you know, that's on quite a knife edge, and it has SNP as returning 64 MSPs, which would be just one short of the majority. And it also predicts a pro-independence majority, with some good news for the Greens, who that poll thinks will pick up 10 seats. So the second poll was for Sky News, came out just a few hours later, and it had the SNP winning an overall majority with a majority of 13 seats. Pollsters for that poll said that the unionists would be disappointed, really, because this kind of points at the fact that fallout between Salmond and Sturgeon isn't really impacting the SNP vote, and actually they think that the presence of the First Minister on the campaign trail has helped the SNP and boosted her sort of own ratings. And they kind of put interestingly, there's now four polls have put the ALBA party at, three of them put the ALBA party at 3%, and one put the ALBA party at 2%. So none of them they all kind of agree that that's how much they think that party will attract voters. And all of them have said, you know, it's unlikely that they would win a seat. Obviously, polls can be inaccurate, but are just predictions. But that is quite interesting.
Now, we've mentioned it before. It does, and I've had a few conversations with the First Minister and a few journalist huddles this past week. She's certainly not been holding back on her criticism of her former boss. And the polling would suggest that it does seem to be Nicola Sturgeon's SNP again that is leading and seems to be reflected well in the polls. Similarly, but with a different outcome, our polling suggested that it was done by Servation and released at the end of last week, that Ruth Davidson is still the most popular conservative politician and leader, and that's been having issues for Douglas Ross, hasn't it? He was on our Election Hub Live yesterday, where he was given a bit of a grilling by Head of Politics David McDougall, who is also the lead anchor on this show. And you know, he's had to explain himself a couple of times that this isn't the Ruth Davidson's Conservatives that are going into this election, it is actually his. And that's not a good look for a leader, is it? That there's one that has to be reminding people who is in charge ahead of this election. I mean, Adele, how do you think that's going to impact on the Conservative vote? You said that there was the unionist vote that was under threat in one of the polls. Is that Is that reflective of both the Tories and Labour, or is it mainly the Conservative vote slipping, do we think?
The polls seem to put, these two polls seem to put the Conservatives in second place with Labour in third, but once you drill down into the kind of popularity of the leaders, they have, there was quite an interesting section in the Sky News poll that was on the debate performance of the BBC live debate. They said that Anna Sarwar, 62% think he did well, which was second only to the First Minister, and only 28% for Douglas Ross, which, you know, is, he's not going to be pleased by that result. So I think, as you say there, and, you know, some awkward questioning on Election Hub Live, it, these results are not going to reassure Douglas Ross, I guess, going into this election. Though interestingly, the polls also showed that while Anna Sarwar's popularity rating is, you know, shooting up, it isn't really translating in increased votes for Labour. So the two don't necessarily go hand in hand all the time.
And Caleb, it's something that we talked about a little bit last week, and I think it's probably going to be the story of the election, is that it's despite the voting system in Scotland and the various ways that you can be elected to Parliament, it does seem to be that presidential style, doesn't it? That that is being put forward certainly by the SNP. It is Nicola Sturgeon's party. It is strong leadership and how she's guided the country through the crisis of coronavirus. Do you think that's beneficial for politics?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think you're right about Nicola Sturgeon. I mean, her personal poll rating has been consistently high, and, you know, it did take a slight dip around the time when the inquiries into the handling of allegations against Alex Salmond were in the news every day. But they, I mean, as Adele's mentioned there, I mean, it looks like the SNP and possibly our own poll ratings are back up to where they were before, like as if none of that's had any impact at all. I mean, I think there's possibly three or four things to look out for in this election, three or four stories. One is whether or not the SNP are going to get a majority. You see kind of slightly, you know, it's a small margin between what the polls are saying and whether that's likely to happen or not. Then there's obviously the whether Alex Salmond will return and how many, if any, seats the ALAPA party will get. And then there's this kind of other strand, which is this kind of battle between Douglas Ross and Anna Sarwar in terms of which party is going to finish second. I think the Conservatives would be very disappointed if they didn't finish second. That would be seen as quite a big defeat for Douglas Ross and a huge boost to Labour. I mean, both are relatively new leaders of their parties, especially Anna Sarwar. But I think it's important to remember as well that there's traditionally been a sense that a lot of people don't like to admit that they're going to vote Tory, basically. But then when they get in the booth on the election day, they do vote Tory. And sometimes polls don't reflect that all the time. So, yeah, I mean, that'll be interesting to see what that happens in terms of whether politics by personalities, having politics being defined by personalities so much or not. I'm not sure whether it's a good thing or not, but I mean, that's the way it is. It's the way it is across much of the West, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. I guess it's part of the kind of media driven culture we have, that you need to be slick and a good performer in terms of the media to do well, and those who aren't tend not to do well, as we saw with the likes of Jeremy Corbyn.
Indeed. And speaking of media personalities, here is a quick ad from our Press and Journal editor, Frank O'Donnell.
Get the facts and analysis you need about the things that matter to you this Holyrood election with DC Thompson Media. Our groundbreaking data research, video bulletins, independent opinion and expert reporting from our dedicated politics team is now yours free for 30 days. That's right, 30 days of free, unlimited web access to The Courier or The Press and Journal to help you make an informed decision this May. New customers only, you can cancel at any time. Sign up at thecourier.co.uk/subscribe or pressandjournal.co.uk/subscribe or follow the links in the episode notes to be better briefed.
So with that in mind, all this talk of polls, we, as we have mentioned several times and will continue to mention during the election campaign, conducted our own series of Survation polling, where we didn't just look at how the country looks to vote, but how you, our dear readers in the Press and Journal and Courier areas, and we reflected upon the matters which, the issues which matter to you. Callum, you took a look at some of the issues that voters want discussed during the campaign trail and during this election, and for the North East in particular, that was housing and the economy. We had an exclusive in the Press and Journal online and on the newspaper this morning, Callum, which you scooped up yesterday. Can you talk us through that? It's to do with housing and money and a certain lack of it.
Yeah, that's right, Paul. I mean, the story that we broke last night was that the Scottish Government's First Home Fund had run out of money and had been closed to new applications, and that's just a few days after it was launched for the year. It's a £60 million scheme, and it lends people, prospective first-time buyers, up to £25,000 towards their deposit on their first home. So this was kind of relaunched for the year on April the 1st, but it emerged last night that it's already fully committed for 2021-22. And I understand that's just because of the huge demand. The scheme was inundated with applications. But obviously its closure already is just going to be hugely disappointing to the many hundreds, if not thousands, of people who were hoping to receive support from the fund, but were too late. I think the initiative helped about 8,000 households purchase their first home last year. But last year it was £200 million, and this year it was scaled back to £60 million, which there had already been some concern about. With the Scottish Government kind of blaming that cut on a reduction in the money it gets from the Treasury. But there have already been calls today for the Scottish Government to find a way to extend it and find a way to offer more support to first-time buyers. But I think it has kind of, it really encapsulates in a way the real crisis being faced by people in parts of the country when it comes to buying their first home. It's I also think it's becoming a key election issue in some places, including parts of the Highlands and Islands, where it's caused a lot of concern. I mean, that's because for decades, really many rural communities have struggled to keep young families from moving away, and that's led to pretty drastic projections for depopulation and ultimately, you know, the death of some communities. And that situation that was already existing is kind of exacerbated by, you know, the inability of young local families to buy property in the area they live, and in part that's because they can't afford the deposits, but also because people from outside of the area are coming in to buy up holiday homes, which, you know, lie empty most of the year, but because they've got more money, it inflates the market, and these kind of younger local families can't buy the home and stay in the area. And we know it's an issue because of, as you say, the research we carried out with Survation, focus groups, and opinion polling as part of our manifesto project, and our election manifesto project. And we should say, it's definitely worth checking out if you haven't already, the special election manifesto edition of the Stooshy, featuring P&J editor Frank O'Donnell and the Courier editor David Clegg. It's getting rave reviews online. But anyway, you know, we see the situation with the First Home Fund, the huge demand that's there for support for first time buyers, and it really does kind of just sum it all up, the fact that you know, just a few days within launching and £60 million being committed, it's just nowhere near what is needed. So it'll be interesting to see over the next day or two if if there are any promises for some more cash for that to target those kind of voters from parties worried about the election.
And Adele, along with housing and worries about the economy, there's other concerns that the voters in the North East have, isn't there, that don't revolve around Brexit and independence. You tell us a bit about what you were covering off the back of our polling last week.
Yeah, for my piece, I was looking at regional connectivity, which voters in our focus groups kept bringing up, things like the state of the roads, and there's, you know, a couple of high-profile infrastructure projects in both our patches, which is the A9 dualling project and the A96 dualling project. And they both have been in the pipeline a very long time, with projected timescales of 2025 and 2030, I think. Obviously, with COVID, that has been delayed. I mean, I don't know if it was delayed anyway as well, but that's certainly the reason being given, is that, you know, infrastructure and building has been held up. So that was mentioned a lot by voters in the Highlands and Aberdeenshire, Moray, because obviously trying to get between the north and the northeast, you know, there's sometimes just very little options for people. Another thing that was brought up isn't just the roads, but the rail connectivity as well, because there's long again been sort of plans to upgrade the rail network between sort of up in Inverness, but they just haven't really happened yet. And broadband connectivity was another important issue, which, I mean, obviously came to the fore particularly this year, because with everybody working from home and school pupils having to study from home, people in the north have said, you know, in some cases voters just haven't been able to connect. And it doesn't look like, you know, going forward, we don't know exactly how society is going to look, but it's likely that for many people, there will be at least a sort of hybrid model of doing much more working from home and much more flexibility there. So I think that's definitely a pressing concern. I think it's good to remember that out with maybe the political bubble and things, there are these kind of bread and butter issues that people really are worried about.
And it's worth pointing out as well, readers in Fife, Angus, Dundee and Perth, one of their main concerns was the provision of NHS services, and more importantly, mental health issues, which is a huge, huge, huge problem, or perceived problem, in the Courier area. I know that's what a lot of young people in particular are concerned about, given the fact that the coronavirus crisis, now that the actual virus itself seems to be abating a little, which is good news. It's now the subsequent issues surrounding mental health and stress and anxiety that have been brought about by this, and that we all feel from time to time, and we all have. It can sometimes read as well that this, because the service isn't as good as it should be, that there isn't any support. But there is support, so if you do need support, please seek it out through the usual channels, like your GP or your community nurse. You know, the help is available. It's just, as people have been pointing out to us, it should be a lot more accessible, and it should be a lot higher on the agendas of our politicians and those running our health services. Now, that cheery note, I think we'll end this week's show. I'm getting the nod from Chris, the producer, that we have mentioned all the adverts that we need to do. That's great. Keep watching Election Hub live on Facebook and on our website, PNJ and Courier.co.uk. It's some really interesting stuff. We're doing stuff that's just a little bit different. The Stooshy, as ever, will remain on all your podcast providers and is the original and therefore the best. Thank you to Adele and Caleb and producer Chris. I've been Paul Malik. Goodbye.
The Stooshy is the politics podcast from DC Thompson Media, bringing together political journalists and commentators from all over the country so that you can be better briefed. Teams at The Courier, The Press and Journal, The Evening Telegraph, Evening Express and The Sunday Post work hard day and night, online, in print and beyond, to bring you careful reporting and analysis designed to help you understand the implications of what happens in Holyrood, in Westminster and in our communities. So you don't miss an episode, follow The Stooshy today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you know folk like you who want to understand politics in Scotland a little better, suggest they tune into The Stooshie or follow Stooshie Scott on Twitter and Facebook. You can get a free month of unlimited access to The Courier or The Press and Journal too. Just go to thecourier.co.uk/subscribe or pressandjournal.co.uk/subscribe or follow the links in the episode notes to be better briefed. Check the episode notes for details and terms.